Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three, our third and final, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. DRS, a ton to get to here in our third and final hour. A full-blown preview of Monday Night Football tonight in MetLife to round out week number four. Some reactions from weekend number four around the NFL and some big injuries to go over here on this Monday as well. But Donnie, before we get to all the football, a little bit more basketball for you around the association. Yesterday, before football really got started around the National Football League, a big trade. Boston acquiring Drew Holiday from Portland. Of course, Drew was traded from Milwaukee late last week in the Damian Lillard deal that sent Dame from Portland to Milwaukee, and Holiday was one of the pieces that the Trailblazers got back in return. But as reports pretty much said, Donnie, as soon as that trade was over, Drew Holiday was not going to be staying in the Rose City long. So Boston makes the deal. The Celtics adding a point guard who can defend and a veteran presence up front. So Donnie, Boston now has Drew Holiday. We asked the public who the best team in the NBA was, much like we did last week after the Damian Lillard blockbuster deal. And Donnie, last week the Nuggets won the Fade the Public poll. This week it's the Bucks, 39.5%.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it settles in, because the Nuggets still are going to be a very good basketball team looking for back-to-back championships, which we know is going to be hard to do. But if we're looking honestly, the Bucks, look, they're very, very talented now. You're going to get an ultimate closer in Dame. He's looking forward to maybe getting reinvigorated at this point. Then you take a look at the Celtics, right? They had two very good guards. Now you add an ultra-defensive guard that can put up 20 points a night, as we welcome in the radio audience you're watching and listening live to the Early Line on a Monday morning armchair quarterback edition. How about that, Ben Stevens and Donnie Wrightside here, Sirius XM Channel 159. But we are talking NBA basketball right now, and I can't fault anybody for any way they voted on this one. The Bucks are the hot team here. The Celtics did improve themselves, and the Nuggets are champions. So maybe that should be 1, 2, and 3, but I just look at the Suns as maybe I look at the Buffalo Bills, where it's like, hey, the luster was last year. The luster is off. You didn't win it last year. What says you're going to win it this year? And I have a better outcome here. 8.5% out of those 130 votes. I don't buy it, Ben. Come on now. I don't buy it.
11.5% DRS was the amount the Suns received in last week's Fade the Public poll on Thursday following the Dame deal. The Nuggets had the most percentage in that poll, 38.5%. The Bucks were at nearly 37%. Now it's the Bucks over 39%. The Nuggets edging out the Celtics, 26% for the Nugs, only 25% for Boston. And Donnie, it's interesting to see Boston where they are in the Fade the Public poll now, where they were last week, only about 13% of the vote, because the Celtics have seen movement in a more important category, sorry, public, than how the people see the NBA. Boston and Milwaukee, now title co-favorites around the association, plus 380 for both the Bucks and the Celtics. And of course, if they're title co-favorites, they're also co-favorites to win the Eastern Conference crown at plus 175. It was plus 500, Donnie, for the Celtics in the NBA championship market just a week ago. Milwaukee was a favorite at plus 360.
By the way, the top four, equally impressive here, Ben, as we take a look at it, right? You have the East with the Celtics and the Bucks, followed right behind there with the Suns and the Nuggets here. I think we're set up for a pretty good season, but it does feel like now the haves and the have-nots. And we're talking about still some of the teams with the haves. How are LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers going to fare? The Golden State Warriors running it back once again. We're setting up for a pretty good top-heavy NBA season, but that's what we like. For most people that say they love parity, the NBA ratings don't prove that. You want superstar teams duking it out here. Was anybody going to be upset if any one of these top four teams, the Nuggets and the Suns, the winner of that, let's just say it's the Nuggets, battle the Bucks in the finals. Be fantastic. The Celtics battling the Phoenix Suns would be fantastic here. We're set up for a pretty good top-heavy race in the NBA, and I'm looking forward to that.
No doubt, DRS. I feel like it's a little bit forgotten that Phoenix now has Bradley Beal. They were also a part of that three-team deal that sent Damian Lillard to Milwaukee and a ton of players back to Portland. Phoenix solidified a little bit of depth in that spot, the fourth best price currently to win the NBA, or the third best price, excuse me, to win the NBA championship at plus 550. The Nuggets, 6-1, 50 cents behind the Phoenix Suns. Denver, of course, the reigning NBA champion. They didn't make many moves this offseason, but they have the best basketball player on planet Earth. His name is Nikola Jokic, probably still in Serbia, about to make his way back to the Mile High City to get ready for training camp, because 3 weeks from tomorrow, Donnie, that banner will hang in the Mile High City as the Nuggets welcome in the Los Angeles Lakers for the season opener around the association. And Donnie, obviously basketball picks up some luster following the football season, certainly around Christmas time, but the season starts in just over 3 weeks, 3 weeks from tomorrow. By the way, the Nuggets, a 5.5-point home favorite for that season opener against the Lake Show.
Incredible hit, and it's coming quickly too, because also when you take a look at over the summer, what's the biggest thing? Oh, we just got done the NBA Finals, and we have the draft, and we have the Summer League on a long football season right now. At the end of this month, we're going to be playing for real here, and that's pretty impressive as it starts up. We love the fall anyway, Ben. Like, all the seasons start to change here. The NFL season collides with college football and the NBA and the NHL. It's fantastic to watch it play out, but we're looking forward to an exciting season because superstars are all over the place, even if they're not showing up on Media Day in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's going to be a storyline. It's Knicks Media Day on this Monday. Going to be a big one. Yeah. DRS, can we offer you that spot from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern before Pro Football Today on Sunday?
We might need a new host there, because apparently, like on Sports Grid Plus, you know, that host is going to be hosting BATR from what I hear behind the scenes. So we'll hold it down for sure.
I'm sure we can convince our coach, JY, to pop on and appear on the Sports Grid Network. No doubt about it. And Donnie, the interesting thing here between the Celtics and the Bucks, last year it was that tussle for not only the top spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Of course, it was Milwaukee who earned the number one seed, upset by the Heat in only five games in that opening round. Giannis Antetokounmpo was banged up, but still disappointing. They were battling back and forth, were the Bucks and the Celtics, all last year for who was the favorite team in the East, the favorite team to win an NBA championship. Boston was there at the end of the day. The Celtics have made it to three of the last four Eastern Conference Finals, winning one of them, appearing in the NBA Finals, of course, 2 years ago, losing in six games to Golden State. That is now the hill that Boston needs to get over. Joe Mazzulla remains the head coach. They added some veteran experience on the bench. Sam Cassell, an assistant now in Boston, expected to help the young Mazzulla craft this Celtics team. Kristaps Porzingis traded for earlier in the offseason as well. Marcus Smart no longer there, but Drew Holiday becomes what Marcus Smart was, a defensive-minded point guard who can orchestrate the offense and solidify things for the Celtics on the other side. Co-favorites, plus 380 for Milwaukee and Boston to win an NBA title in 2023-24. The season starts in just about 3 weeks. It's the NFL season. The injury insight and analysis with the Pro Football Doc up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah.
Looking back on the Sunday slate in the National Football League regular season, week number four and week four coming to a close tonight on a Monday in MetLife. We do that now with the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, joining us here on this Monday on TEL. Of course, Dr. Chow and his team doing great work over at sixscore.com, sicscore.com. Dr. Chow, as always, we appreciate the time and your injury insight around the NFL on this Monday morning.
Thanks for having me. Always good to be here, and always injuries, at least not a lot of huge catastrophic ones other than, of course, Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, and we look at a lot of quarterbacks here, Dr. Chow, to start off this week, looking back on the Sunday slate. We thought we might see Jameis Winston make the start for New Orleans with the sprained AC joint of Derek Carr. Instead, it was Carr that gutted it out. But, Dr. Chow, they threw the football a ton, 23 of 37 for New Orleans yesterday, but only for 127 yards, an average yardage per attempt of just 3.4, numbers I had frankly never seen, Dr. Chow. So how did Derek Carr look to you? What effect do you think the injury had on that New Orleans offense yesterday in the loss to Tampa Bay?
That's why we said if it's, quote, just an AC joint and nothing more, you can inject that to return to play. Ironically, his former receiver, Davante Adams, had a right AC joint injury in game against the Chargers, likely had an injection and returned it, played pretty well. This was Carr's throwing shoulder, and I think that's the issue. Was he 100% on the shoulder? Maybe not, associated swelling. Maybe the area wasn't numb, and so maybe he had to throw underneath. Or was it lack of practice time with a new team that sort of changed what he could do and in terms of the timing? The bottom line is that he should be able to play through again. He may need another injection. He should get more practice time this week. And he's certainly going to trend in the right direction. And so we missed the Jameis Winston, quote, revenge game.
Doc, if we do take a look at that injury overall and the injection, help us understand what it actually does for the player. Does his arm go numb and he can't actually gauge his distance on the throws? Or how does he actually acclimate to the NFL game with that injection?
Well, the AC joint is part of the shoulder complex, but it actually has nothing to do with the shoulder actual joint, rotator cuff, labrum, ball and socket joint. It's the end of the collarbone as it connects to the top of the shoulder, the acromion, therefore AC, acromioclavicular joint. So only that area is numb. You have to understand, if you really have a bad AC joint, when you do surgery, you just cut the end of the joint out and the ligaments around it still hold it stable. That's why you're able to numb it and still play. If it were the actual shoulder joint or knee joint or something like that, you would not be able to safely numb it and play. So I'm not sure how much of an effect it had on him. Maybe it was his first time playing through that and dealing with an injection. It's the throwing shoulder, which is an issue, but I would argue that the lack of practice time was as much of an issue as anything for a kid that is new to a system. I've done it before on NFL quarterbacks, and they've thrown for a lot more than 3.3 yards an attempt, so I don't know that it's just the shoulder injection that did that, but we'll have to see.
The Saints offense has struggled, only averaging 15.5 points per game so far this season. Dr. Chow, it was a bad day for the Steelers yesterday in Houston. The Texans rout the Steelers 30-6. The quarterback comparison, the rookie QB C.J. Stroud, sensational. The second-year pro for Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett injured in the game, Dr. Chow, late in the third quarter, did not return. What do you think the timetable looks like now for Pittsburgh's starting quarterback?
Well, by video, and we said it in-game, and we even shot some video from the war room explaining it, it looked like a left knee lead leg MCL sprain. So it's never good to injure a ligament in the knee, but this is one that typically does not need surgery, and he should not go on IR absent some additional findings, and hopefully it's just MCL. I think Rap Sheet already confirmed MCL. And in terms of timeline, I do think it's Mitch Trubisky time for a short period of time. No IR, but Pittsburgh has a bye coming up soon, and maybe Pickett can come back after the bye. It seems likely he might wear a lead leg knee brace when he comes back, which is common for quarterbacks anyways for prophylaxis and knee injury. So his season's not done, but he's going to miss a little bit of time.
Doc, Monday Night Football live tonight from the Meadowlands going to be the Seattle Seahawks and the New York Giants. Slight favorite here towards Seattle at -1.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook and a total of 47.5. Are we going to get any expectations here set on Saquon Barkley coming back tonight? Or in your opinion, does he need at least another week here for us?
Well, back when we first said high ankle sprain and the Giants were saying ordinary ankle sprain and then high ankle sprain got confirmed, we said, look, he's not playing this Monday night game. The one extra day isn't going to make enough of a difference here. And he's listed as doubtful. And so far in 2023 season, no player listed as doubtful has played. And last season, very few did, and anyone that did wasn't contributing in any significant way. So Saquon Barkley is out for tonight. He's got a chance for next week, not guaranteed, a chance. Remember, we've said all along that Austin Eckler will make it back before Saquon Barkley. Of course, I forgot that the Chargers have a bye week next week, so it might be a tie by the time they come back. But Saquon is not guaranteed to come back next week either yet.
Dr. Chow, just quickly on the Chargers, who entered that bye week maybe at a good time for their young quarterback in Justin Herbert, injured his left hand yesterday against Las Vegas, played through the rest of the football game with what appeared to be a brace, a soft cast on that left hand, of course, the non-throwing hand for Justin Herbert. How does that affect the way that a quarterback plays if it is, in fact, an injury to his non-throwing hand?
Well, first of all, there was a lot of speculation on internet and otherwise that he was stepped on. He was not stepped on. There were that he was cut by the face mask. Face masks are not sharp. What I believe happened is he got on the interception, he got his finger caught up in the face mask of the defender that was now blocking him, torqued it, and either fracture or dislocation, maybe a little bit through the skin and this, therefore the little bit of blood. The big splint was clearly for stability. Now, how does it affect him? If this were his throwing hand, he might be out. Non-throwing hand, more shotgun, et cetera. They did do a quarterback sneak, and maybe the ball security prevented him from getting the fourth and one because you can't have two hands firmly on the ball and extend. You've got to sort of cradle it in his healthy side. That may have prevented the fourth and one. Now, in the end, the big pass at the end iced the victory for them. Now, going forward, and you heard it here first as I went back and looked at the video, I would not be surprised if Justin Herbert has a surgery on that middle finger on the left hand, a small surgery for pins or screws. Number one, you don't want to be wearing that big face next time for the next game and be all shotgun. Number two, the Chargers have a bye week, so it's a good opportunity to get any skin wounds closed and healed. So don't be surprised if he has left hand surgery of some type announced in the coming few days.
Doc, quickly tonight on Monday Night Football. Go ahead.
Take it, DRS. I'm going to say the same thing. Take
it. You got it. There we go. Seattle football tonight. Laundry list of injuries. My goodness, Doc, what can we expect?
Well, yeah, Seahawks have had their interesting year. And, you know, their offensive line hopefully is getting stabilized. To me, that's the biggest area of concern with both of their tackles. But, you know, Jamal Adams coming back. You know, there was talk that he thought about retiring. That's a tough issue. A lot of secondary issues for the Seahawks, as you see on the field view there. And the reality is that Jamal Adams isn't going to be 100% today. I don't even know if he's going to take all snaps. But you can see on the field view there, we call five secondary starters. If you really count the defenders, there are 12 there because we think the slot corner is so important. But four out of the five in the secondary there are affected by injury.
Dr. Chow, thank you very much. More of the Early Line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, live right here on this Monday on Sports Grid. I'm Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside, of course, is here as well. So is the Jack of all trades, the prop perspective for Monday Night Football. FanDuel's Tom Vecchio joins us live right here on TEL. But we call him a jack of all trades because regardless of what season it is, regardless of what sport we are breaking down, Vecchio is going to give you the analysis and insight and the winning prop bets that you need. That includes season-long prop bets, as he is known in Major League Baseball times as the home run prop king. And way back at the end of March, Tom Vecchio came here on what was formerly the morning after, now of course is the wonderful, the early line, and told you to bet Matt Olson to win and to be the Major League Baseball home run leader this year. And after 162 and 54 home runs for Matt Olson, Tom Vecchio, we give you the floor.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Yeah, all the way back in March, I said Matt Olson at 28-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to lead the league in home runs. And like you said, after 162 games and 54 home runs, he ended as the season leader. And, you know, maybe I got a little bit lucky. Otani didn't play like the last month of the season, and Pete Alonso was pretty close behind him. We got to remember, Alonso missed a little bit of time with the wrist injury, and then he came back. But even after he was back, he wasn't at full health. You know, regardless of that, I will, of course, take an awesome win. And more importantly, I think the process in terms of evaluating hitters is really spot on, and just hope to refine it a little bit more going into next season.
We love that process, Vecchio. We love that process. The 40-40 split, we'll talk about it next March as we preview a new Major League Baseball season, or maybe throughout October in playoff baseball as well. But Vecchio, first we focus on Monday night at MetLife between the New York Giants and the Seattle Seahawks. A 1.5-point spread in favor of the Seahawks, a total at 47.5. Injury concerns defensively for Seattle, injury concerns offensively for New York. A patchwork offensive line, potentially once again, and Saquon Barkley, Vecchio, listed as doubtful. How does that influence your approach to Monday Night Football tonight in MetLife?
Yeah, well, for tonight, there's so many moving parts between the injuries, who's going to be in or out, and ultimately, it doesn't shape up in my mind to be a highly explosive, highly efficient, you know, game on either side. You know, to start the season through 3 weeks, both teams are in the bottom 10 of the league for plays run per game. And, you know, we can account for at least on the Giants side where, you know, their game script has been awful. They've also run up against two really good defenses with Dallas and the 49ers. So their drives are getting shut down pretty quickly. But their offense doesn't look amazing in any capacity except for that one half against the Cardinals. And then do the Seahawks really need to push the ball if they're leading? So, like, this does not shape up to be a high-scoring, high-flying game in any capacity.
Tom, we set this game up when we take a look at the Giants' perspective, right? They're at home in this game, a little bit extra time, that sort of mini-bye after they got crushed by San Francisco. But you're right, played one good half of football at Arizona and secured a victory. If we center this around Daniel Jones, passing prop, 225.5. Daniel Jones, touchdown prop here, passing touchdowns, I should say, over 1.5 at a plus 144 price. And then his rushing yards at 35.5. With no, you know, Saquon Barkley in the backfield here, what are we looking for Danny Dimes tonight? Because you, as you said, an injured secondary here for the Seattle Seahawks. Do we see a performance? And again, we're not asking for the stars. Can he get 250 in the air tonight against Seattle?
He can, and I think it solely depends on the game script. I mean, they've been playing from behind for basically all of the season. That's why they're in the top 10 of the league for, you know, team pass play percentage this year. If they can somehow get ahead because of that, Seattle secondary is banged up, and then they can just feed Matt Breida the ball like a bunch of times, he may not get there. I think there's also going to be a special teams touchdown from one of the sides on this, or special teams or defensive touchdown on one side. Like, I think it's going to be a really sloppy game. So I'm relatively hesitant on any, or I would say his passing total. His rushing total is far more interesting tonight, because if the line breaks down and he's pushed out of the pocket, you know, they're looking to push the ball deep because of that banged up secondary, that will allow him to scramble. It's not going to be designed runs. They're going to be scrambled because the plays are breaking down because of the pressure.
For the Seahawks defense to score, by the way, a plus 600 number. For Big Blue's defense to score for the New York Giants, that's plus 650. That rushing offense needs to be better overall, Tom, for New York. 11 attempts as a team for only 29 yards a week ago, now two Thursdays ago, against the 49ers. But the Seahawks defense is not that of San Francisco. In fact, Seattle giving up more than 29 points per game. So if there is optimism offensively, Vecchio, for New York to move the football, We haven't seen much out of the new connection yet between Daniel Jones and Darren Waller. Knowing the injuries offensively, what do you expect for production from Waller tonight?
Well, for me, this has to be a big Waller game. Like, they went out and traded for him for a reason. Barkley's not expected to play, and Waller already has a team-high 20.8 target share. So I'm going to Waller for a touchdown. Like, too much of this makes sense for him to not be the primary target for the Giants moving forward. He has a 22.2 red zone share, which is one of the highest on the team. Paris Campbell is up there, but he's not seeing as high of an air yard share compared to Darren Waller. And with that, you know, banged-up secondary for the Seahawks, I like this. And ultimately, like, I don't want to say this is a make-or-break game for the Giants, but if they lose this, they're going to be 0-3 in the NFC, and that is really, really tough when it comes to playoff tiebreakers when we get to December or January. So, like, this is like a borderline must-win game for the Giants, and that means their best players have to show up, and that realistically means Waller finding the end zone tonight.
Let's flip it over to Seattle perspective here, Tom. Taking a look, obviously you can go with options like Geno Smith, who has a touchdown prop over 1.5 touchdown passes at a minus 128. Running back prop here, Kenneth Walker III at 64.5. Or some good wide receiver options here. Where are you looking tonight to go from a Seattle perspective here?
Oh, I love DK Metcalf. And you know, when it comes to Seattle, it's like, okay, is it going to be DK week? Is it going to be a Tyler Lockett week? We don't know. Yeah. But ultimately, that upside with DK Lockett for his long completions is what I'm looking for. Long, you know, haulings is what I'm going for. So longest reception over 22.5 yards. He has a team-high 37.8 air yard share. And so far this season, he has long receptions of 22, 28, and 34, which are awesome. All awesome. And this season, the Giants have been absolutely torched in the secondary with long receptions allowed of 21, 22, 23, 24, 29, 40, and 49 in the first 3 weeks. So DK getting down the seam or getting up the sideline for 25 plus yards is like a script every night. And I will take that certainly over 22.5.
Yeah, the Giants haven't had much defensively to write home about this year. They are the third worst scoring defense, giving up nearly 33 points per game, near the bottom 10 when it comes to defense in terms of yardage given up, about 362 per game so far this season. I'd also keep an eye on Kenneth Walker III. The Giants allowing .138 per game on the ground on average. They have allowed the team's leading rusher of their opposition, Tony Pollard, to rush for 70, James Conner 106, and 2 weeks ago now, two Thursdays ago, I should say, Christian McCaffrey north of 85 yards. Kenneth Walker III, his prop tonight, 64.5. So, Vecchio, you are the jack of all trades. Let's show the people the graphic one more time so they can see the plays for Monday night football. Two receivers, Darren Waller to find the end zone, +240, of course, the tight end for the New York Giants, and DK Metcalf, over his longest reception of 22.5 yards. But Vecchio, as the jack of all trades, we need some October baseball from you here as well. How does it differ, Vecchio, in terms of your daily analysis, all 162 games long throughout a Major League Baseball regular season, as compared to playoff baseball when you look at the prop market?
The simple answer is, when it comes to pitching, if they are not an ace pitcher that you would feel comfortable having on your team to go out there and give you 7 scoreless innings, if that is not the type of pitcher, a Spencer Strider, Tyler Glasnow, Kevin Gausman, if it's that not that type of pitcher, the under on his strikeouts. We know that managers are going to be pulling pitchers. They're going to get to the bullpen. They're not going to leave them out there for second, third time through the rotation. And hitters, obviously, on the other side, are simply going to be looking to make contact, right? They're not going to be taking too many pitches. They're going to look to fight off every pitch as we have these 9, 10, 11 pitch at-bats. They're going to be fighting things off, which means balls are in play, which means fewer strikeouts. So if it's not Spencer Strider, it's not Corbin Burnes, it's not Gausman, it's not Glasnow, any of these elite pitchers, I'm simply taking unders on their strikeout props.
By the way, it's an interesting cause because as handicappers, we change throughout the season. Early season pitching, pitchers aren't stretched out. We don't know really who the bullpens are actually going to be. Turns into the hitting weather in the summer. And then you get playoff baseball here, which for me, I usually like to line up the mismatches here. Which lineup should be able to tattoo a pitcher? Well, it turns out in the playoffs, yeah, just about every single pitcher is really good. So I feel you on that one here. But if we're taking a look at a legitimate chance to win a World Series, I was so fascinated to see how the AL actually came down. And the Houston Astros, for me, got an unbelievable draw for my liking here in the American League. Are there any teams in the American League, Tom, that you're looking at right now, not only say that with a legitimate chance to win, obviously we know they are, but who are you looking at from an AL perspective?
Well, from an AL perspective, like I said, the draw, I think on both sides is actually pretty rough. I like the Phillies. I actually really like the Twins, and I know it's a bit of a long shot, but realistically, the Twins have the best pitching staff, at least in the first round of teams. Gausman is the best pitcher that's in the AL right now. Glasnow is the second best, but the entire pitching staff, Sonny Gray, Joe Ryan, and Pablo Lopez for the Twins, is a better three-pitcher combination compared to basically anyone outside of Houston, maybe. So if they can get past that first round, they can get past Gausman, they can get past Barrios or Chris Bassett, the Twins actually have the pitching to shut down the Astros lineup, and then they can go head-to-head with whoever comes from the other side.
Right now, Minnesota has a 17-1 number tied alongside Milwaukee for that price to win a World Series. The Astros, the favorites to win the American League, the shortest number to win a World Series from the American League at 5-1. Of course, it's been the tier of two really all year long, both in the NL and that World Series market. Atlanta, then L.A., the Braves, the favorites, plus 260. The Dodgers, the second-best number at plus 430. Tom Vecchio, we appreciate the time as always. We will talk again throughout this Major League Baseball postseason and, of course, throughout the NFL year as well.
Thanks for having me, and hockey starts next Tuesday.
Oh, whoa. That jack-of-all-trades never misses. Soon there will be a time on the gridiron, the hardwood, and the ice. That's what Vecchio does. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football at MetLife for the second consecutive primetime NFL game. From Sunday night to Monday night we go at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. No reports yet on if Taylor Swift is staying in the box to watch Daniel Jones go up against Geno Smith, but DRS will still enjoy the football that we have here to round out week number four. Let's start with the game, and then we'll get to our triple option, our favorite side, total, and prop for Monday Night Football to end out week number four. A 1.5-point spread in favor of the Seahawks. The over-under, 47.5. DRS, a very short number between these two teams, with injury concerns for both sides entering this game. When you look at New York, it's the offense, a patchwork offensive line, Saquon Barkley listed as doubtful, but maybe there is something to take advantage of for Seattle secondary, a defense that, as Dr. David Chow pointed out, and as you expanded on, DRS, enters tonight really banged up. What do you make, DRS? What's the breakdown of Monday Night Football?
Here's the interesting part about it, Ben, and you brought up a pretty good stance here. Just because you have an injured secondary doesn't mean you have the capabilities of taking advantage of it. Now, granted, the Giants aren't banged up at wide receiver. They just don't have a great wide receiving crew. Maybe Waller can finally step up to what we think he's going to be. But having said that, it's not as if it's like, okay, Seattle's banged up and the Kansas City Chiefs are coming to town, or the Miami Dolphins or the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to bring wide receivers in a heavy, up-tempo game style that's really going to take advantage of it. You have Daniel Jones at quarterback. What is he actually taking advantage of in your secondary here, and who is he throwing the football to? And also, as I brought up too, it's not as it like I really like Saquon Barkley as a running back, and most people would downgrade the running back position, but in this offense with the Giants, he means a lot. Dump offs out of the backfield, picking up the blitzes, but also more importantly here, running the football to keep that read option alive. Nobody's going to be looking at saying, oh my goodness, we have to go with that fake here because Matt Breida might be able to get the football. That's not going to be the case. That's my worry tonight. If we were taking a look at it honestly here, and the Giants had a productive offense and a healthy Saquon Barkley, I might have a different attitude on this game, but it's just about trust levels. I have Geno Smith on one side with legitimate wide receivers, legitimate running game, and a legitimate quarterback going up against Daniel Jones, and I hope it works. Do you see where I'm going with that? That's why I'm going with Seattle, just because I don't have to answer as many questions from their offense.
For sure, DRS. I think the right side in this football game is Seattle. We'll break down why we both think that here in just a moment. Now, if there was ever a get-right opportunity for both units, it would be this game. Seattle going up against a stagnant and stale Giants offense that has had 11 days to prepare for this Monday Night Football game. And I guess that's the sliver of hope if you are Big Blue, Donnie, and Brian Daboll, and Mike Kafka, the offensive coordinator coordinator, great offensive minds who can figure something out to kind of mend the wounds, if you will, of this banged up Giants. Oh, because they played on a short week in San Francisco, week number three, that Thursday night football game. And it was abysmal for Daniel Jones. He threw for less than 150 yards. The rushing offense did not help out much. 11 carries for only 29 yards on the ground. In fact, against those two stout defenses, Dallas and San Francisco, the Giants have scored a total of 10 points. But Donnie, Seattle is neither Dallas nor San Francisco defensively. Not just this year. They're the sixth worst scoring defense in the NFL, allowing 29.3 points per game. Entered this week, bottom five, before week number four got underway. They're giving up more than 400 yards of total offense on average. That's second worst only to Denver at this point this season. But that was the story last year, DRS, in the first couple of months before the Seahawks defense started to figure things out in the final regular season month, propelling them in to the postseason. They gave up on average 388 yards up until December last year for Seattle and were one of the bottom five scoring defenses in the National Football League as well. But if there was ever an opportunity, DRS, for that Hawks defense to make a stand, it might be against this lifeless Giants offense tonight. I'm just not sure which side wins out, and I think Seattle might be able to put up some points against New York, who is also having their struggle defensively, allowing more than 32 points per game.
And by the way, the Giants, 5 yards per pass attempt on offense. Like, you laughed at the 3.4 yesterday you saw out of the Saints. Well, the Giants aren't much better, and they're quote-unquote healthy at this point. But also, you're taking a look at the defensive makeup here of the Seattle Seahawks. It's not very good in the secondary. They're giving up on average of 328 yards per game on defense there. That's not very good. But here's the caveat. As we talked about, can Daniel Jones expose that? Well, if there's no Barkley in the backfield and Daniel Jones is going to have to run, you're actually feeding into what Seattle actually does well. 79 rush yards a game, only 2.9 yards per rushing attempt here. So it's not as if you're going to slow the football game down and expect immediate success. And you brought up this topic earlier in the show. That's a bad offensive line from the Giants, and it's injured as well. So it does feel like Daniel Jones is going to have to use his legs for the running yards as opposed to the running back itself, and hopefully he can take advantage of that secondary. But again, just getting back to the simple concepts of football, you have to have the personnel to exploit a bad defensive secondary. The Giants don't have the quarterback and or the wide receiver in order to do that. That's the caveat tonight in this game overall. If circumstances were different, maybe I'm leaning a different direction, but that's why I do believe the Seattle Seahawks are the better side. Again, just getting back to the moniker, less questions from me on Seattle's offense as opposed to what the Giants are bringing to the table tonight.
And I think we saw some of the value that Saquon Barkley provides this Giants offense two Thursdays ago against San Francisco. When the threat of Saquon is not out there, either on the ground or as a key component of the pass game for New York, the aerial attack, it makes it a lot more difficult for Daniel Jones to have success. It's why Danny Dimes, obviously under the tutelage of Brian Daboll, had such a good year last year. Saquon was fully healthy. Saquon was one of the best dynamic offensive players in all of the NFL. In the last game for New York, we saw them two Thursdays ago against San Francisco. Again, the stat line for Daniel Jones, 22 of 32, 137 yards, an interception. He was sacked twice, but pressured a ton. And New York as a team had nothing to alleviate any of the worries Danny Dimes had to face back there. 11 carries for only 29 yards. That rushing attack needs to be so much better to alleviate some of the pressure off Daniel Jones, who probably has to be better on the ground as well, Donnie. Only 2 carries last week for 5 yards for Danny Dimes. So let's dive into the triple option, our favorite side, total, and prop for Monday Night Football. DRS, you've mentioned it a few times. You're going with what you trust more in Seattle. Why ultimately do you think the Seahawks win this game and cover a short number of 1.5?
Simple. I have Geno Smith at quarterback versus Daniel Jones. I think I have the advantage here from a Seattle perspective. Whatever running back you're going to try it out for the Giants, not going to be as good as at least Kenneth Walker is. The wide receiving core, it's a knockout here for Seattle over the New York Giants. Now, granted, we are talking about a lot of times here the Seattle defense underperforming and being injured. But again, you're still going to have to exploit that there. If you're telling me now tonight Daniel Jones is going to be the second half quarterback that we saw against Arizona, maybe I would start to buy in. Or are they going to look more like they did last week against a really good Niners 49ers team completely inept and embarrassing on offense. There's way too many wild cards and question marks there. If I need a drive that's going to carry me to a victory or at least get me into field goal range, it's the Seattle offense that I'm trusting much more than that Giants offense under Brian Daboll right now.
Yeah, DRS, I sometimes laugh when we break down games, right? Because we're making points and we're trying to add examples to our arguments that you would think the individuals that are paid millions of dollars to scheme and plan and orchestrate an NFL team know better than we do. If we're saying the Giants had issues offensively last week and have had 11 days to prepare for this Monday night matchup against a bad Seattle defense, don't we think Brian Daboll, the coach of the year in the National Football League, a great offensive mind who came from Buffalo and made Josh Allen the quarterback we see today, also knows that, and they'll find something, an additional wrinkle, something to benefit this Giants team? That's why I'm not uber confident in Seattle winning this football game. I just think Seattle, if you were to go through the checklist, better quarterback, better running back, better wide receiver and skill positions, check, 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 all advantage to Seattle. And I don't think there's an advantage necessarily defensively for either team. Seattle better defending the run than that of New York, as I'll point out in just a little bit. And with only a point and a half spread, Donnie, I'll lock in the Seahawks on the money line, minus 124, the price last night, working ever so slightly in their favor by about 8 cents, minus 132 on the money line for Seattle at this moment. I think the Seahawks win this football game tonight against a banged-up New York team that we expected regression, and we're seeing it through 4 weeks, Donnie, of this NFL season. What does that mean in terms of the scoring output tonight, Donnie, with the total at 47.5?
The total, I'm going to lean towards the under 47.5. It's a pretty healthy number here. Both offenses, quite frankly, should be able to get close to those, but it's the fact of the matter. It's the Giants that are weighing me down in this one. It's not. We don't go into a game with the Seattle Seahawks like, man, I wonder if their offense can move the football. We expect them to move the football because they're competent, because they have playmakers that have been there, done that before, particularly at the wide receiver position. When I look at the Giants, what am I saying to myself again? It's a coin flip. Like, oh, man, Danny Dimes stinks tonight. Daniel Jones just can't play. Like, there's much more of that feeling here. And I'm not saying the Giants can't win the football game, but if we think Daniel Jones is going to throw for 300 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, and move the football up and down the field, yeah, we would go towards the over. But I just don't see that being the case. And also, if you're not getting into a shootout, Seattle still can lean on their running game, much like the Giants can't do that. So if they get an early lead, let's just say double digits, 13-3, something in that range, Seattle doesn't have to air it out all night. If they could probably get a gauge on what that Giants offense is doing, so Seattle has the ability to slow the game down with the lead. The Giants don't have that ability tonight. I'll lean under 47.5.
And listen, if Daniel Jones throws for 300 yards over his passing yards prop of 225.5 and tosses three touchdowns, everything Donnie and I are saying right now is most likely wrong. Seattle probably doesn't win that football game, and the New York Giants add enough offensive output to push us over a total of 47.5. But the way we predict it, the way we break it down from what we have seen so far with a three-week sample size, we don't anticipate that being the case. So, Donnie, let's go to Seattle, where I think the number's a little bit light on Geno Smith, 249.5. He threw for 296 last week against Carolina, 328 in the only road game the Seahawks have played this year on the road in the Motor City. Of course, that overtime victory for Seattle. And what was the key for Seattle in their two wins back-to-back now, different than week number one against the Rams? Donnie, in week one at home in the Pacific Northwest, the Seahawks actually had a lead at the break, 13-7 over LA. Shut out, lifeless, stagnant offensively in the second half. 0 points for Seattle. The Rams scored 23 unanswered, won that football game 30-13. Seattle figured it out. Slow starts each of the past 2 weeks, so I think there is a live component to maybe back Seattle tonight as well. But Donnie, week number two against Detroit, 24 points in the second half to force overtime to come back for their first victory of the year. Last week against Carolina, tested early and often by Andy Dalton and the Panthers, they scored 25 points in the second half to win that football game by 10, 37-27. I'm going over Seattle's second half team total of 12.5 points.
Yeah, I think it makes some sense there. I do, because if they're throwing in the second half, that probably means they're going to be scoring points here. And even if they're not playing with the lead, you can come back. And if you have the lead, there's still no chance that you're not going to push the football down the field. Quickly for me, prop bet tonight, if we're leaning towards that passing game and scoring points, I'm going Tyler Lockett over 52.5 receiving yards tonight. He's actually only done that one of the first three games. I look out for a breakout performance. And when we say breakout, 55 yards, Lockett's getting that tonight for me, Ben.
Yeah, completely agree, DRS. A great look for you. We're focusing on Seattle throughout this football game.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it on the ground for the Hawks and Kenneth Walker III. 62.5 was the rushing yards prop last night, up by 2 yards to 64.5. I still don't think it is high enough. I'll break down why I think Kenneth Walker goes over this number tonight. But last week, 18 carries, 97 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 4 rushing scores, Donnie, for Walker III in the last few games for Seattle. That will be my best bet. You'll get one from Donnie Wright's side as well before the show closes on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We preview Monday Night Football as we close out our 3 hours together live right here on the Early Line on this Monday, all a part of the Spiz Grizz Network. That's Sports Grid, and this is the new Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, now available for download at the Apple and the Play Store. And the great thing about the Spiz Grizz app is you can sync your bets with your favorite sportsbook. Ours, of course, is the FanDuel Sportsbook, the great FanDuel Sportsbook, a partner here on the Early Line. You can track your bets, including these five-star plays you want for Monday Night Football. So, before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, I'm Ben Stevens. He's Donnie Wrightside. We give you a best bet for Monday Night Football between the Giants and the Seahawks. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. Donnie Wrightside, what is the best bet for Monday Night Football tonight in MetLife?
Let's up the ante here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Why? Because you can use the Gronk Spike Tonight profit boost here. I took a parlay plus 560 and boosted it to plus 841. Tyler Lockett, anytime touchdown score. Tyler Lockett over 52.5 yards. And Kenneth Walker over 64.5 rushing yards. Plus 841 tonight. We can all have some fun.
That's my guy right there, DRS. I'm gonna go, yep. going to get in with you on Beautiful. A same-game parlay tonight as well yep. because my best bet is Kenneth Walker III over 64.5 rushing yards tonight. 19 carries, 87 yards, 2 touchdowns last week for the Seahawks against the Panthers. The Giants are allowing opponents to run for 138 yards this year. We'll look at all 3 games so far for Big Blue. In the opening game, when the Cowboys didn't need to do diddly squat offensively, Tony Pollard still ran it for 70 yards over this number. Week number 2 against Arizona, James Conner had 106 rushing yards. Last week, Thursday night, against Christian McCaffrey, 85 yards for run CMC. Elijah Mitchell even had north of 40. Kenneth Walker III over 64.5 rushing yards for Monday Night Football. He's Donnie Wrightside. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll see you tomorrow on a Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern, live right here on Sports.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.